Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic, we're going to be looking at nutrition, and we're going to be discussing diet expectations and diet adjustment concepts. So we're actually going to do this in the context of a recent email that I received from someone, and just kind of talk through their scenario, and likely it's going to bring up some things that we all relate to and lessons we can all learn from. So the person sent me back in an email. They said, I had a question about your nutrition plan for fat loss. And this is a nutrition plan that I wrote for them. And they said, I have been doing it for 2 weeks and have actually gained half a pound. And remember, this is for fat loss. So they've been doing it for 2 weeks and have actually gained half a pound. I do feel great. I have a lot more energy throughout the day and I'm not falling asleep in the middle of the day. But I've gained weight. What am I doing wrong and how should I adjust? So, the reason why I thought this would be helpful is they're not doing anything wrong. So they've gained a half a pound and they're in a fat loss program. So how can I say that that's not wrong when they've actually gained weight? There's a whole bunch of factors, and I wanted to kind of run through that in this podcast. And it would be helpful for them to hear, but overwhelmingly I think this is going to be helpful for a lot of other people to hear. And then also I can maybe save this and send to my clients in the future. So there's a lot of processes that when you start a diet, there has to be an establishment. I'm trying to think how to word this correctly. Is before the diet can really fully take effect, some things have to get into place. And we have a lot of those factors going on with this person, and I wanted to kind of run through those and explain what's going on. So they've only been doing it for 2 weeks, and that isn't a lot of time in the world of dieting. That feels strenuous to us because we've been paying attention every minute of every day. So, but in the world of dieting, 2 weeks is like more like the establishment phase, kind of like just getting the ball rolling, getting everything set in place. And most commonly, not to pick on this person, they might have done a fantastic job in 2 weeks, but often in the first 2 weeks, people make a shit ton of mistakes. And they're doing better than they did before, but they're actually not still following the diet 100% correctly yet, because they're trying to get things in place, but they, you know, they ate too much of this, they missed a meal here, they were supposed to do this, but they forgot. Like, there's just a lot of variance within the first 2 weeks because we're trying to learn new lifestyle habits. So very, 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 very rarely will somebody just pick up a new diet, follow it perfectly, especially within the first 1 or 2 weeks. So we have to recognize that we can't judge a plan if we haven't been following the plan. So if they've been quote-unquote following it for 2 weeks, but they haven't really been following it well, you don't know what that plan is going to do yet. So you don't want to make adjustments, you don't want to make changes. So we've talked about it in past podcasts that if you have an adherence level of around 90%, so you're getting 9 out of 10 things right. So let's look at like meals. Say we're supposed to have 5 meals a day. There's 7 days in a week, so we have 35 meals per week. And I've typically told people this, that if you get about 30 to 32 right, 32 out of 35 meals right is spot on, the best you need to hope for, that's best case scenario. And that's about 90%. If you get 30 out of 35 right, you'll make pretty good progress, but there might have been a little more progress that was possible. If you get less than 30 right, like 29 or 28 or less, like usually 28 out of 35, you're going to stand still. Less than 28, you're actually going to go backwards. So when I say getting, or you're following a diet, I mean you're getting 32 out of 35 meals right. So that accounts for 3 mistakes or 3 kind of like where we know we made the wrong choice throughout the week. So that's about a 90% adherence. So if we look at that and we say, oh, I'm following the diet, but it's not working. Well, if you are not following it 90%, you're not actually following it. You're following a variation of it, but you're not following it. So you can't judge a diet unless you're following 90% of it correctly, okay? So that's the first thing we need to look at, is be realistic of what our expectations are. If you're only following it some, but if you were to count up your mistakes per week and you're more than 3 mistakes per week, then you're not actually following the diet. The diet is not the problem. You need to adhere better to the diet rules. If you cannot adhere to the diet rules, then yes, the diet needs changed, but not because the diet didn't work, but because it didn't fit what you could handle at the moment, okay, or your lifestyle at the moment, or anything like that. So you don't have to feel offended if you have to change the diet, but you want to make sure that you're aware of the truth. It wasn't that the diet didn't work. It's that you couldn't match your lifestyle to that diet. So you need to change the diet to find a better matching lifestyle one. So that's a good thing to learn. So that way we don't start getting into like, oh, diets never work for me. Bullshit. So diets are diets. Science is science. Okay? So you just have to find the way to manipulate the things to best fit your lifestyle. So you can get 90% adherence. Okay? So the next thing we kind of want to look at there is what's the effects they're getting. They say they feel great. They have a lot more energy, and they're not falling asleep midday. So they're getting huge helps right away in mood and energy and how they feel, just quality of life. So that's really important for us to know, because that means that whatever change they've made so far, it's a change in a positive direction. So we don't want to just immediately start undoing things, because we're getting positive benefits. They're starting to feel better. If you start freaking out about that half a pound, and we'll explain what that represents here in a second. But if you start freaking out and taking food back away, bye-bye to that feeling good. Bye-bye to that daily energy. So you have to make sure you don't jump the gun on things. So I want to kind of go through a list here. So number one, the first thing I want to look at is go listen to podcast number 5. So way back when, podcast number 5, titled Weight Loss is Not Linear. In that podcast, we explain why you can't judge fat loss based on just step-by-step, moment-by-moment on a scale. So there are variances every single day in how much we weigh due to a ton of things outside of our control. So right now in South Carolina, which is where I live, we're going through kind of these goofy heat days where like one day it'll be cold, one day it's like hot as hell and humid, the next day it's back to being cold. So humidity and just kind of our environmental factors will change how much we weigh. Some days we sweat out more water, some days we don't. Some days we sweat a ton of water out because we were outside, you know, running around in the yard. So the next day we super compensate and we feel like a water balloon because our body just kind of wasn't ready for that. So there's a lot of changes there. We also have changes in our diet. If we have more sodium or less sodium one day compared to the next, that can change things, even if healthy foods. So maybe one day instead of a healthy sandwich, you had a healthy soup. But maybe the soup had a lot of sodium in it. So that's going to cause you to hold more water the rest of that day and maybe even to the next morning. So we can also have digestive issues. So maybe you ate dairy and you don't digest dairy well. So therefore you have a little more bloat, you have a little more water retention. So the next day you might wake up a little bit heavier. There's a whole bunch of variances as well. So if I had a big workout day, so maybe I did legs and I kind of beat the tissues up and kind of damaged them a lot, we're going to have more water retention during the healing process from that workout. So therefore you might weigh a little bit more the next day. Your pants might feel a little more snug. It isn't that you got fat, it's that you have more water retention in your legs, and that's what changes the weight and the shape and the feel of the legs. So weight loss is not linear. And in podcast number 5, we discussed that there's a reasonable variance of about 2% per day. So if I weighed 100 pounds, then my weight can vary anywhere between 90 pounds to 102 pounds every single day. And that doesn't mean I've gained fat or lost fat. It's just a manipulation of water weight and maybe a smidge of weight gain or a smidge of fat loss. But that stuff happens in such small increments. Like, it happens so slowly that we can't gain like a pound of fat in one day. So if you've ever stepped on the scale from one day to the next and you're a pound heavier, you didn't gain a pound of fat. That's not even really possible. So you just gained water weight plus maybe a little bit of fat if you had a really big meal. So, but that's what we want to think of, is a 2% change per day is very reasonable. So that's why often I tell people to weigh themselves twice a week. So on, say, Mondays and Thursdays, and we've gone through in those podcasts why those days are, okay? So, but real quickly, Thursday is usually after very consecutive days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday being very good diet. So it represents kind of the best case scenario morning. Then Monday morning represents the worst case scenario morning, because we're coming off of a, you know, Friday evening where we probably went off plan, Saturday and Sunday where we probably went off plan. So what we weigh on Monday would be almost like the, like, what was the impact of the weekend? Now, you would weigh yourself, and you would measure that over a course of weeks. You would compare, say, 4 weeks' worth of data and see what is the trend that is happening. So that's almost the minimal length that we would ever analyze a diet at, is in four-week blocks. So she's only been doing the diet for 2 weeks, means it's not long enough for us to see a trend yet. She may have just weighed in on a day where she had a higher amount of sodium compared to the last day. Maybe if she's a mom, but this person is a mom, by the way, maybe they kind of missed a meal yesterday in the middle of the day because they had kind of a kid event. So they came home at night and they ate their supper, but their body's kind of angry because it missed that meal. So it's going to have more water retention due to stress and cortisol levels. So who knows what that half pound is? That half pound might be gone the very next day if they were to weigh in again. So half a pound is well within the 2% variance of their body weight. They do not weigh 50 pounds. So they have to understand that that's going to be just variable. So we need to see a longer streak of more than just 2 weeks. So 4 weeks is a minimal amount that I would say you need to give a diet. Okay? And you need to see what is the trending factor over 4 weeks. So maybe in the first 2 weeks, my weight went up a half a pound, but maybe the next 2 weeks, it dropped a pound and a half because now everything's kind of in motion. So you don't know yet in 2 weeks what is happening. So there doesn't need to be an adjustment made yet, okay? So that's what we talk about in podcast number 5, is weight loss is not linear. The concept that weight change happens ups and downs every day. Okay, so you need to weigh yourself at least twice a week so you have two data points, and you need to measure for at least 4 weeks to see what the trending result is. Then in podcast number 228, one we just did recently, we talk about how you can track progress and learn how to adjust your food based on your performance indicator or performance marker and based on an aesthetic marker. So not only, you know, what do we see in a scale, but how do we feel and what can we do with our body? So she said she's feeling great. She has a lot more energy and she's not falling asleep midday. So that's a good thing. We don't want to make changes yet because, again, it's only been 2 weeks. So maybe if we are 6 weeks into it and she said, oh, okay, I've gained a half a pound. I do feel I have great energy. I just feel better throughout the day and I'm not falling asleep midday. But at 6 weeks, I've gained a half a pound. We would say, okay, you know, half a pound, it doesn't seem significant, but at 6 weeks, we should have a weight loss if we're on a fat loss program. So maybe we would make an adjustment at that time and see if we can start getting a downward trend. But we don't want to make a change, a caloric reduction so severe that it impacts how good she feels throughout the day or her energy levels throughout the day. So that's kind of the idea. Now, what happens if she gained, say, 4 pounds in the first 4 weeks? Ooh, okay, we're overeating, and we can definitely bring those calories down. So you have to kind of collect all the data, and that's what podcast number 228 talks about, is what is all the data that we'd want to collect. So if I just look at a scale, that's an incomplete picture. And again, in podcast number 5, we talked about why that is. And that's because a scale only measures how much we weigh. It doesn't measure what that weight is, whether it's muscle or fat or water. So we don't know what the changes amongst those three elements were to create that half a pound. And this gets into the next step for her, is that she just started training, weight training, resistance training, on a regular basis just recently, within these last 2 weeks or so. So the effects of a newly started resistance training program on the body can often be a little bit of weight gain. It does not mean they gained body fat. Okay? What it is they now have that damaged tissue, so your body's going to hold more water around in the muscle cells to help repair that muscle damage. So you will have more water weight in your body when you start weight training initially, and anytime you do a very severe hardcore workout, even if you're an advanced lifter. So anytime your body is under severe muscular damage, it'll have a higher amount of water retention. Then also there's a respiratory kind of effect from lifting weights, is if we're newer to resistance training, okay, and we start doing that and we have carbohydrates in our diet, what's going to start to happen is your body is going to want to start to store more energy in the muscles to react to the new stimulus of training placed upon it. That new storage of carbohydrates, that new energy, is going to come in the form of carbohydrates, water, and sodium. So it's called glycogen. It's kind of like putting a gas tank in the muscle belly. So rather than us having kind of generalized energy sources, our body wants to create energy sources localized to the muscles we use most. When it does that, it will pull in water weight, carbohydrates in the form of glucose, and sodium to kind of hold all that in the muscle. So that means that sometimes our body weight will go up a little bit because we have that newfound like energy source in the muscles, which comes with it a little bit more of a water retention. It doesn't mean that you look bad. Actually, what it does, it plumps up your muscles. It actually makes your muscles look fuller and rounder, so it actually makes you look good. So it's not a bad water weight. It's not water weight we'd want to get rid of. So if you say, oh, I don't want that to happen, I'm just going to avoid all carbohydrates, yeah, I wouldn't do that, because you're not going to have muscle, like muscles full. The muscles are going to be emptied out, kind of flat looking, and you won't actually look as good. So people who take on ketogenic or no-carb style diets, they often initially look ridiculously flat, very like emaciated, and they don't look full, rounded, pretty muscles. They kind of look like worn out, kind of dead to the world. So that's not a negative type of water retention. That's a good type of water retention for aesthetics. So anytime you're new to lifting weights, you can expect a little bit of a weight gain effect. And a half a pound is well within that effect, like what you would expect, due to the water retention from the muscular damage, then the water retention due to the muscles wanting to hold energy within their cells. Okay? So we have to recognize that anytime I add resistance training to a diet, I have potential to gain body weight due to that resistance training. It is not body fat. You did not get fat. Okay? So we hear that too often in the nutrition and training world. Like, oh, when I lift weights, I get fat. No, you don't. When you overeat, you get fat. So just don't overeat and you'll be fine, okay? So that's what we need to recognize, is all of the above. So she's only been doing it for 2 weeks. That's too short of a time frame for her to start being analytical of whether to change things. She needs to give it a 4-week phase. So that way she knows she has enough time into the diet to see what the full effects are. And part of that process, part of that reasoning is our body, it needs time often to adjust its metabolism to the diet structure. So you may have been going into the diet, and this is very common for females especially, but true of males too, is they might have been going from a fat loss or weight loss diet that they were doing before. It didn't seem to work. There was always yo-yoing up and down, and now all of a sudden they're taking on this new plan. Well, the previous plan might have actually resulted in you under-eating. So you had worn out your metabolism and you got your body so kind of like beat up and worn down that like it was kind of like, if you think of a fire, a campfire, it was a dwindling, barely lit fire that was all smoke and no flame. So the body was just kind of worn out. And that's what she was saying about. She used to not feel very good. She used to not have good daily energy and she used to be very sleepy throughout the day. That is a worn out low fire. Okay. So what we did was we might end up in a healthy diet, getting the person to eat more volume of food. So they're going to actually take on more food, and what that does, it helps actually boost up their metabolism. So the effect that it would have would almost be similar to trying to like put wood on a fire. When you want to build a fire up, you put wood on the fire. As soon as you place the log on the fire, it does not mean that the fire blows up and starts getting bigger. What you have to wait for is that wood to catch on fire, and then all of a sudden the wood produces more fuel for the fire to grow larger. So that's also one of the reasons why we wait at least 4 weeks to make sure that a diet can take full effect, is you have to wait for that food to catch on fire. You have to wait for that food to build up your metabolism. So that's often why somebody might report feeling better before they report seeing a fat loss, because their body is just now starting to adjust. The metabolism is just now starting to grow. Okay. So again, that's why we have to give it at least 4 weeks. So that's kind of a lot of things we can think of, okay, is why we have to wait at least 4 weeks to see if a fat loss diet is truly in effect and if it does need modified or adjusted. Once we've waited the 4 weeks and say the diet hasn't resulted in fat loss yet, so you're like, okay, I feel better, everything's going good, but that number on the scale is actually still creeping up a bit or it stayed stagnant and we would like it to go down. So what you need to do then is you need to look at, okay, if I'm going to make an adjustment, so that's the next part of our little podcast here is the diet adjustment concepts, is what do I adjust? And this is actually relatively simple. So in most healthy, good structured diets, we would be having about 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight in protein. So if I weigh 150 pounds, I would have around 150 grams of protein, maybe down to like 120. So 120 to 150 grams of protein, somewhere in there. So if we have 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight in protein, that's a good amount of protein. So, if I know I want my body weight to go down, I have to reduce calories. I don't reduce calories by reducing protein. You want to maintain always 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight in protein, always. So do not decrease that when it comes to trying to get a caloric reduction. You want to decrease carbs and fats. And the reason why is it's excess carbs and fats that translate, that get converted over to body fat way, way, way more than protein does. So if you reduce the things that get converted to body fat, you have a better chance of reducing body fat. Kind of makes sense, right? So we want to reduce carbs and fats, not protein. Now, where do we take those carbs and fats away from? We want to take them kind of evenly throughout the day. So I don't want to just reduce one total meal down to nothing. So I want to kind of more do an more even reduction. And if we can, we want to reduce mostly from the times we're inactive. So if I look at my day and I have like a bell curve of activity, I want my calories to match that bell curve, where I have a little bit less in the morning, a little bit more midday, a little bit less in the evenings. So I can maybe, through my caloric reductions, take a little bit more away in the evenings. That way I know, okay, since I'm less active in the evening, I do need less calories. Let me take the calories away from there. You do not want to take calories away from your most active time, because you're just going to kill your energy, you're going to kill that fire. So we said that metabolism is building a campfire. Don't kill the campfire, okay? That campfire is burning off your body fat. You want to grow that fire as much as you can. Now, if you don't need the fire anymore for that day because you're about to go to bed, then take the calories away from then. So just like we would stop putting wood on the fire at the end of the day so the fire will die down, then we can go to bed without, you know, the neighborhood catching on fire, we want to stop putting food in our body towards the end of the day. Same concept, okay? So that's what we would do. If we do want to make caloric reductions, if we reduce carbs and fats, not protein, and you reduce the calories from your most inactive times of the day, or try to have a relatively evenly spread reduction throughout the day. Try not to make the reduction in your busiest time, okay? Do not take calories away from your busiest time of the day. Cool. So hopefully this helped that person. Hopefully this will help other people who are having that struggle, okay? So they just started a nutrition plan. They've been doing it for 2 weeks. They've actually gained a half a pound, but they feel great. What should they do? Well, if you've only been doing it for 2 weeks, make sure you've actually been doing it well. Have you been doing it at least 90% correct? If you have not, then you can't overanalyze these first 2 week results because you don't know what the actual diet will do. You're only seeing the results of you following part of the diet. Then, if you've gained a half a pound, recognize that in the first only 2 weeks, that's not long enough to see the full effect of the diet. You haven't built that fire yet, and that half a pound is still well within that 2% variance that we have of everyday weight. So you don't know that half pound might be gone tomorrow if you were to weigh yourself again. Okay? And the fact you feel great, you have a lot more energy, and you're not falling asleep in the middle of the day, that's a good thing. That means you're making a positive change in your life. So just enjoy those positives, be more patient, and let that diet take full effect yet. Okay? So listen to podcast number 5, which discusses why weight loss is not linear. It tells you a lot more information, helpful information about a scale, okay, and how to use scales healthy mentally and emotionally as well as physically. And then listen to podcast number 228, which talks about how to know whether you're tracking the right things to see if you're getting the right progress, okay, in your diet. So hopefully that's helpful. Put all that stuff into effect. And if you have any questions beyond this podcast, but within this realm, just something we haven't discussed, shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll help answer your specific question. Okay? So hopefully this was helpful. If you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world will be. Yeah, if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love, 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 love to hear from you. So please reach out to us. This podcast is for you. We want to know what you want to learn about, okay? Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.